I'm glad. Well, good morning. My name is Rick, and I'm a son of God. I used to be in bondage to drugs and alcohol and criminal behavior, but I have been set free by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. That is my Celebrate Recovery handle. We're going to talk a little bit about Celebrate Recovery today, and I hope clear up a few misconceptions and enlighten you just a little bit. I have some good news and I have some bad news. Oh, and also, all of his time he took doesn't come. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a plan for us. He has an absolute path for us. He will provide everything we need to achieve glorifying him with our lives. Bad news is, I'm not your pastor. I won't coddle you. I'm an evangelist. I'll give you all the tough love that I have to give, okay, out of my love for you. All right, let's get going here. First of all, Celebrate Recovery is the largest 12-step program in the world. It began about 25 or 30 years ago at Saddleback Church in Orange County, California, Pastor Rick Warren's church. He and his friend John Baker were talking one day. John Baker was an associate pastor, and he was in a 12-step program, AA, and had been for a long time. He told his friend, Pastor Rick Warren, you know what? I like this 12-step program because it's pretty simple, it's pretty doable, and it makes sense. But I can't not acknowledge Christ anymore. He said, I'm not an alcoholic. I can't say that. God set me free. God gave me a new life. God empowered me and enriched me and set me out to proclaim his love and mercy. And I wish there was a program, he told his friend, that was a 12-step program, but Jesus Christ was the only higher power. And Pastor Rick Warren looked at him and said, well, why don't we just do that? So John Baker was given the assignment of establishing Celebrate Recovery. His friend Rick Warren wrote the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery, which pretty much mimic the 12 steps, except they're straight out of the Beatitudes. And so every Celebrate Recovery typically begins with a sharing of the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery and some other standard program doctrine. So John Baker was a very gifted, still is, man. He spoke for God through creating all of the materials of Celebrate Recovery, pretty much word for word. And they're still used today in thousands of Celebrate Recovery programs around the world in jails and prisons and other places as well. We have Celebrate Recovery step study programs here for ladies and men every Sunday morning at 9:30. They're pretty powerful. And so Celebrate Recovery was born. And if you went to that church today, you'd find over 1,000 people in their Celebrate Recovery programs on Friday night. Most churches aren't nearly that large, obviously, but there are thousands of smaller programs all over the world. And never hurts habits and hang-ups. And they're not for alcoholics and drug addicts. They're welcome to come as well. God certainly wants them to be free and have a good life. But those folks, of which I was one, we had deeper issues. We had broken hearts. We had broken lives. Maybe we'd never even had a real life, except a life of pain and ugliness. So we looked for happiness in all the wrong places, some of us. And the world today offers more fake getaways than ever before. Abuse of prescription drugs is at an all-time high. It's so easy to get, and you can get so stoned. You can escape all your problems for quite a while. Same is true with other drugs. Heroin's starting to take off again, and meth is a beast. And there's a lot of things that people can do to not face reality and to soothe the pain. So it's no wonder many people become addicted to stuff, because you know what? It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. You not only escape reality, but you feel great for a while. So God says, you know what? I'm gonna make people welcome to this program that have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And whether they're in bondage to drugs and alcohol, or whether they're trying to get over abuse or other situations in their life, I'm going to provide the same simple program that has a path to freedom for each and every one. A lot of people are codependent. We have a program for that. If you put anything before God and rely on it for happiness or your wherewithal, that's codependency on the wrong thing. We're to be codependent upon God for our happiness, for our well-being, for our wholeness. Nothing else can help me there. My wife can't make me happy. Jesus makes me happy. My children can't make me happy. Jesus makes me happy. My job can't make me happy. Jesus makes me happy. My fine cars and house and all that stuff, they can't make me happy. Jesus makes me happy. To think otherwise is to be codependent upon the wrong thing for happiness. Only God can make us happy. And we will soon find that we'll burn through all that stuff and end up worse off than when we started, because we're still searching to fill that hole, that God hole inside of us that only Jesus can fill. So Celebrate Recovery addresses all this stuff. Acceptance. There's so many gifts. Let me start on that part of it, okay? First of all, Celebrate Recovery is part of our church. And they all are. All these thousands of Celebrate Recovery programs are part of a local body of Christ. I believe greatly in the power of the local church. I believe that it is established by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the head of this body. We are the body. And I believe that we are purposely set up on a hill, and our light shines in a dark, dead community, a world that needs us. Therefore, I believe that we're to serve Jesus in this church, in this place. Celebrate Recovery also is a body of believers, which makes it a church. But we're a sub-church under this main church. We choose to be a part of this church. Chris and I are working hard to merge the two together more and more as time goes along, because the two bless each other. They both become stronger from each other. We get more personal in Celebrate Recovery because that's what the program demands. It is a very sensitive program because we do get more personal. We respect everybody's anonymity and confidentiality. It's a first name only program. We don't care what your last name is, what you do, or how you do it. We're just here to give away what God gave to us, which is the bottom line. I'll get to that in a minute. So we do get more personal in Celebrate Recovery because we believe that that's what Scripture requires us to do. We can't expect to get well if we don't acknowledge that the hurt is there. It needs to be tended to. It needs to be soothed. It needs to be healed. But you got to first admit that it's there. To not do that is denial. Denial is a very rampant condition in the world today. It's much easier to deny things than to deal with things. I found out in my life. But that just makes things worse in the end. So God wants us to be free from denial and have acceptance and other wonderful gifts that only come from God. I want to go ahead and share with you briefly what I believe is part of the foundation of Celebrate Recovery and the church as well. Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through the end of that chapter. I'm going to tell you what I used to be like. It describes me exactly. And then I'm going to share with you what happened and what I'm like now. And this says it. This scripture is going to exactly describe the old me. And then it's going to describe the new me. And I'll share with you the power that makes that happen. Beginning in verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I will tell you that in Scripture, it tells us that the flesh can't change itself. What a startling predicament that is. The flesh can't change itself. Why would it? The flesh is selfish and demanding. It came from the dirt, and it's going back to the dirt. It has no desire to clean its act up. It loves to feel good. That's all it cares about, actually. It's going to die, go back to the dirt. It knows it. And nothing can be done about that. So it's going to just enjoy this feel-good stuff as long as it can. So it will drag you to every filthy sin possible and put you into addictions every chance it gets. Because it feels good to it. And that's all that it cares about. So without an offsetting superior power to that, we're doomed. In ourselves, we have no power to get free from sin. We can't. We wish we could sometimes. Much pain and suffering comes because we can't. Paul, after he had written much of the New Testament, declares, woe is me, I am the lowest of all creatures because I want to do what's right. I really do, but I can't. And he goes on and shares the good news. Jesus can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. It's all about that. So continuing in Galatians chapter 5, it says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. That's what Paul said in a different place, wasn't it? They're in conflict with each other, and if the flesh is dominant, you'll do things you don't really want to do. You won't even know why you did it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. What's the law got to do with this? Well, if you're still in sin and bondage, you're under the law. It says, the acts of a sinful nature are obvious. And this was me to a T. There's a few others that aren't listed, but this is most of them. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That was me before this happened. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. There's so much there, I can't cover it all, but I'm going to touch on a few things. The fruits of the Spirit are straight from God's throne to us. They're gifts. They are wonderful God conversion tools to change us. They only come from God after we give Him our life, give Him permission to make some changes and adjustments. Nowhere in this world can you find the gifts of God. Where would you find pure love in this world without expectations of getting something in return? You won't find it from the world. What about joy? How many totally carefree people do you find today that are just not caring too much about stuff in the world? They're fixed on a higher goal, a higher power, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no love without Jesus. There's no joy without Jesus. There's a cheap imitation that the devil's put in the world to placate us. It's a trap. Peace. What price do you put on peace? Patience. I used to be so impatient and demanding. I had no acceptance of people and their differences from me. I had no acceptance of their gentle differences and their weaknesses. I had no acceptance nor understanding. I didn't care. You do what I want, or there's going to be a price to pay. And you don't do it right, so you listen to me. I'll tell you the right way to get this done. I had no acceptance. Today, after acknowledging that God totally accepted me just as I was, I accept everybody just as they are. If something needs to be dealt with in your life, it's God's business, not mine. I don't have any power. He's got all the power. Gentleness is not possible without the Holy Spirit residing inside of you, period. It's foreign to our natural state. Self-control, man. I had no self-control when I was in my own control. God has changed that. I'm still a work in progress, though. There's no such a thing as a completed life until you go to be with Jesus. And that's okay. That's good. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. You know, that's what it takes. I'm going to jump ahead here to something that I really like this. For me, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, watch out. Be very careful never to forget what you have seen God doing for you. May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your life. Tell your children and your grandchildren about the glorious miracles that he did. I love the church and I have a lot of acceptance, but I can't help but wonder from time to time, where's that exciting day evidence in some of our lives that declares, without even saying it, that I met Christ and I've never been the same? I met Christ and everything changed. I met Christ 25 years ago in a lonely street in the middle of the night, drunk and about dead. And I called out to God and I said, God, that's it. I'm done. Either save me or kill me. But this ends here. Well, he saved me. And I had a dramatic encounter with the Son of God. He touched me. He loved me. Immediately, he gave me hope. And it was more than a dream come true. It was a dream I never even had. It was special. It was different. He answered my prayer. And more. That day was very profound in my life. Just as the writer says, you know what? May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. That's what happened for me. That's what happened to me. That visitation from Jesus had a deep personal effect on me and has changed my life. Every day I re-experience that visit from God. When I get up in the mornings, I revisit that experience. Thank you, Jesus. How could you? Look at me. I was the lowest dog of all, and you saved me. Why? I don't know why, but it's okay. Thank you so much, God. Today, I won't live for myself, God. I've learned. You created me for a purpose. And like it says on the first page of a different book that Rick Warren wrote, The Purpose-Driven Life, it says, your life is not yours. You weren't created for you. You were created to serve the Master. And He will give us that intimate understanding and apply it to our lives if we'll allow Him to. And for 25 years, I've got up in the mornings and I've rejoiced over what God did for me. I never forget it. It is the embarkment of my day's journey. And I don't pray anymore about my wants. God, help me with this and bless me with that and take care of my kids and all these things are nice, but I give more attention to His wants and His will and His way. And I tell Him, God, you know, open up some doors today. Let me give away what You have given to me, and I'll do it, you know. I'm trained up. I'm willing to serve You. And He usually, well, in fact, He always does, if I'm listening and reacting the way I should, He always provides an opportunity for me to share something with somebody or to be there for somebody. It's not about me anymore, it's about Him. And I don't know why God chooses to use us the way He does, but He did. And I think it has to do with getting to be more personal, more into each other. He chooses to use us. He could do it without us, but it wouldn't be the same for Him. It's all about love. All about love. So there will be a difference. You won't be the same. You can't be the same. If you had that dramatic encounter with Christ, you met Him right where you were at when He came to save you, to heal you, to show you what life really is going to be like without all that pain and suffering and self-centeredness. That is good news. That's awesome news. And you don't forget it. And things change. It all changes. And if it doesn't, you missed it. You should go back and get it. I've shared that with 100,000 men in prisons over the years, and I mean it. If you didn't get it, you and only you have the opportunity to fix it. Get it. Have a heart-to-heart with Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I want You to show me miracles, show me power, show me love, show me glory. I want it. He'll change your whole outlook, change your whole life. This change that we've just talked about here is straight from God. Nothing else can do that. He will do it for all of us because He dearly loves us. Loves us to life. Not to death, but He loves us to life. All right. So we have a standard set. We have the platform. We have the basic knowledge of humanity. So when people come to CR, we know that we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. God has told us something to do. He's given us a command. And we take that command real seriously and celebrate recovery. It says in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. God has made disciples. Jesus made disciples. And He said, now, guys, I've given you something. And you go out and you give that away. You carry the torch. You carry the word. Give away what you got. That's my command to you. You will make disciples. You'll be there. Get out of here, devil. All right, no problem here. Okay, so we have a desire in Celebrate Recovery to give away what we have been given. That's all we can do. We can't give something that we don't have. God has made us aware of that. I hate mechanics and stuff. Tim's a good mechanic. I respect him for that. But if you ask me to fix your car, you are out of your luck. You are out of luck. I have no desire or knowledge to do that. But there are things that I do well, that I love, and I'll be happy to do that for you. So you can only give what you got to give, what you have been given. And in Celebrate Recovery, that is the cornerstone of our ministry. We believe that folks will learn to trust us as we empathize with them and their situations and their needs. It has something to do with trust. It's hard to trust somebody with your secrets. But if you are assured that I have been where you're at and I've gone through that and I really care because of that, then you're more apt to share and to get it out and to let God begin to work on your pain. But if you don't trust somebody, you won't reveal some embarrassing parts of yourself. So we make ourselves available to receive people's hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and to support them in the reconstruction of their lives through the power of Jesus Christ. We'll be there for them. They can call us at midnight. They can call, you know, whatever. We intentionally support them in their efforts to get closer to God. The program is strong. It's not just a Monday night meeting. That's just a gathering time to refuel and to encourage each other, to share victories and cry about losses. But the program itself is multifaceted. We insist that everybody who's serious about the program get a sponsor. That's a mentor, a spiritual guide. That's not a good term. A spiritual friend. And that you can trust and let go. Trust them. One of the silliest things I ever did was I went to recovery many, many years ago, and this guy was willing to be my sponsor, but I said, but you can't go talk about some of these things. I won't allow it. Well, I wasn't ready, was I? No. You have to let go of all of it. In our program, our steps, we talk about insanity. I was insane. God will heal us from our insanity and teach me to trust Him. And in this program, it's His program. So I trust those people that told me what to do. I did everything they told me, and it worked. I had a sponsor. I had accountability partners. I was loyal. It was the most important thing in my life. I don't even want to hear people's excuses when they come in and say, I'm sorry I missed last week. I had to go wash the car or whatever, you know. That's okay, you know. It's got to become the most important thing in the whole world to me for it to be successful. The Bible. Our whole program comes out of God's Word. If there was one word that didn't, it would not be my program. But it is. In a very sweet, simple form. And we teach people to trust, to let go, and to let God. There's so many hurts. It's not for alcohol and drugs. It's for all those other things that cause that, you know. I've talked about a few of them, and I won't repeat myself, but it's all the same to God. It requires the same power, the same miracles to set people free. But for Him, it's quite simple. We have to be willing. The church is meant to be the vital ingredient of the whole thing. The church is to work together as brothers and sisters, in my humble opinion, based upon what I've learned, to honor that light that Christ has placed on this hill for this dark world. And we have to work. We have to be willing to give what we have been given. To put others first. I had to come to a place where I accepted couple of things, like, you know, we have to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And the second is, like that, we have to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. And that is critical, you know, in our lives. It changes everything. It's not about me. You know, it is about you and you and you. Look what Jesus did for you. Can't I do just a little bit also? Because I belong to him. So I believe the church has a fiduciary responsibility to minister to the people of their community. And I don't think it's asking too much. You know, we got the goods. We need to give it away. That's why we were given it. Well, that's part of the reason. First thing, our eternal soul was saved. But then we're called to a work of grace, to give what we have been given. Let me share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. What a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort that God has given to us. I love that scripture. It keeps me on track. I have to give what I have been given. Go out of my way to give what I have been given. I can relate to a lot of people and their pain, to their suffering, to their shame, to all the things that go along with taking the wrong turns. And I know there's absolute hope and promise for all that stuff. And I'll tell them straight out from my heart, God loves you and it's going to be all right. And I'll say it in a way that they'll believe it, because it's the Holy Spirit inside of me confirming what comes out of my mouth. The power of God is unstoppable. My power is nothing. But the power of God is unstoppable. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen it in action. I've seen hundreds of miracles. The power of God, if given a chance, is unstoppable. Absolutely. So we have the goods. We need to be willing to give it, just like it was given to us. People need to come here with hope, and they should not be disappointed. I'm not preaching to you. I'm talking to I am preaching to you, but I'm talking to myself also. I could always do better. Always. The church is appointed by Christ. He's the head. We're the body to tend to business to all those that come and those that are out there. We should not even wait for them to come. A little bit of support for that position is this. Romans 12:13-9 says, when God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. We are called to take a position of love for Jesus. We're not called to ever side with the world and its viewpoints and its positions. Never. In fact, we'll always be at odds with the world. It's controlled by the evil one. Our church is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it says, live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. That's from Ephesians chapter 4, 1. I try to live as though I rejoice my salvation and my giftings every day of my life. I have told many people in recovery many times, don't you dare ever take a day off. One day off from recovery and you will be destroyed. Don't ever take a day off. The same, I believe, is true about our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I never take a day off. Why would I? You know, I've got to keep doing what got me here. It's life insurance. I'm not going to take a day off. I could be destroyed so quickly, so easily, I wouldn't even know what happened. I've got to put on the full armor of God daily for my well-being. You can't take a day off. You better not take a day off. I can tell you some horrible stories about people who have taken a day off and thought that it would be just fine. I'll come back tomorrow. Maybe not. James 2:1-7, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. You know what? People are talked to death these days. All, you know, politicians are pumping that stuff out a mile a minute. The world's got a lot to say about a lot of things. People are sick and tired of talk. Most people don't believe what they hear anymore anyway. They're sick and tired of talk. I believe that God demands that we follow up with His calling by our action. We can talk a little bit while we're serving, but I think we need to move into action. Talk doesn't cut it. People don't care. They've heard it 100 times. What they need is some action. I shared a painful story in the first service that I'll share again. I had a sister. She died a couple years ago. And she had a horrible life. And she was full of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But God found her and saved her miraculously and very dramatically. She continued to have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. She wasn't perfected. She had character defects. Imagine that. We all do. Some have more than others. But she knew her calling. God had shown her what she was to do to serve the kingdom. She was to go out and pick up little kids, bring them to church from poor neighborhoods. And so she went out and she knocked on doors in the poor neighborhoods of the communities, and she asked if she could bring those kids to church, to Sunday school. And it wasn't long, and, you know, she was blessed because it was God's will. And she had a whole van load of kids, and, you know, she was taken to church. And then a bigger van, and about the time they were getting ready to ask for a bus, the church leaders came and said, you know, we can't handle this. Just can't do it. We can't handle all these kids. We got all these programs going on. We got all, you know, we don't have enough workers. You have to stop doing this. We can't handle these kids. So she was broken. She left the church, went to a different church, felt that God was calling her to bring the babies to be saved at that light on the hill. Wasn't long before the same thing happened again. Don't bring any more. We can't handle them. That scenario breaks my heart. I love my brothers and sisters, but sometimes I believe we get in a rut. We're programmed to a point where we forget to evaluate what's really important. All hands should be on deck, and everybody should be willing to serve the kids if they can get here, if we can get them here, or whatever the opportunity is to change lives, to save lives. What's the value of one eternal soul? That should be engraved on our foreheads, so as we meet and greet, we are reminded. What is the value of one eternal soul? Why is this church here in the first place? For those eternal souls, that's why. I don't mind. There's nothing I can do about at the great white throne judgment seat. If somebody says, I should have listened to that Rick guy. I wish I'd have listened. But I don't want anybody to ever say, that Rick guy, he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me about all this. Why didn't he tell me? He didn't tell me, man. God, don't ever let that happen. I don't care what else they say, but don't ever let that be said about me. Do you know the value of one eternal soul that's going to be stuck in hell, screaming and gnashing of teeth and all that horrible stuff is real? It's going to happen. It breaks my heart that the Bible says the gate to hell is wide and the gate to heaven is not, but that's just the way it is. But I can do what I can, what I'm supposed to do, to serve Christ in his outreach for the lost. The church is God's precious bride. I'm not condemning it. I love it. There's no other vehicle to do what God wants to be done. But I think from time to time, we need to get closer to God and say, God, what's up? Can we talk? We do a thing in celebrate recovery frequently called a personal inventory. We believe it's a great tool to stay in touch with God and his will for our lives by honestly evaluating what's up with my life, you know? What am I doing? Is it right? Am I with you, God, or am I going off in some wrong direction? Am I continuing to honestly work on my character defects, or have I stopped? An honest personal inventory is very, very helpful if you're serious about having a right relationship with God. And our program teaches us that. We get honest with God. No secrets. One of the most profound, simple little statements in all of Celebrate Recovery is, we're only as sick as our secrets. That's kind of a challenging statement, isn't it? I don't want no secrets. I don't have any secrets today. I used to have a lot of them. I was a big fake. But I'm not today. Okay. My goodness, where'd the time go? That's not fair. I am going to quit. I just wanted to tell you that we hope that you all come to Celebrate Recovery or send people. But if you don't, that's okay. Well, you know, we're going to love you anyway. But it is a great opportunity to minister to people in a very personal, informal way. And it works, you know. We just try to be real and humble and give away the love that's given to us. And so we hope that you'll support us and consider being a part of us. And you don't have to be. Well, we will love you anyway. But it's probably not what you think it is. It's part of church. You know, we have a good time. We're very informal. We're very real. And you're going to hear some tough love. That's just the way it is. But that's the way it's supposed to be. So, I don't really have much else to say. I have a whole lot of cool stuff here, but time's up. I wanted to just say this to you. I know that God hears prayers. I know that God feels hearts. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups can come in many forms. Frustration and aggravation comes in many forms. But I'll tell you this, I know about the power of prayer. And if any of you have any areas of your life that you'd like prayer about, we'll pray right now this morning. If you've never experienced that overwhelming conversion experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not in your heart and your mind, you need to get that. You need to get it today. Why would you not? If you have secrets, get rid of them. You'll feel 100 pounds lighter. Come clean with God. If you have great regret, get over it. One day is all we got. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. Don't ever let the past burden you down. Nothing you can do about it. Let it go. Let go and let God. Don't worry anymore about the future. What can we do? Nothing. So what's the point of worrying? You're wasting strength that should be used on ministry today. That's what that strength is for. Not to waste away worrying about something you have no control over. God loves you very much and wants you to be free. I want you to be free. My people want you to be free. We know what freedom is like, and it's awesome. We really love you. We really care. That's the only reason I'm here this morning. I really care. I want you to get what I got. Maybe you have more than I got, and that's good, but some of you may not. It's amazing what God will do for someone who will let him. All he asks is your permission. Knock, knock, knocking on your door. But you have to open it, and you'll come rushing in with a power that will blow your mind. If you have something that needs to be dealt with, you come. You come, and we'll pray. God reacts to prayer.